You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. For Baptist Messenger readers, columnist Walker Moore needs no introduction. But for those of you who may not be familiar, Walker Moore is founder and president of All Star Ministries, which is an internationally known youth mission sending organization. He's a Bible teacher, Bible communicator, author, conference speaker, missionary, a youth ministry expert, and we're pleased to be joined with Brother Walker here on Messenger Insight. Hi, Walker.
Well, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing real well, and I have in my hands a copy of your newest book, and I'm so excited to tell our listeners about it. It's called Escape the Lie, Journey to Freedom from the Orphan Heart. And Walker, just starting out with the basics, what is the orphan heart, and why do you feel God has led you to write on this topic at this time?
When John 14, chapter 18, verse 18, Jesus was telling his disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans." And I thought that was an unusual statement because these men were grown men. They were fishermen. They had families. Yet he's telling this group of men, "I will not leave them as an orphan." And I couldn't figure that out, so I went on a journey to figure out why he was saying that. And basically, an orphan says, "I have no father, I have no home, I have no significance." And I found out that many of us who are followers of Christ live like orphans in our own father's house. And so I began to explore that, and out came the book.
One thing that jumps out at the reader right away is you've pulled in conversation points or testimonies from people who have this heart cry as orphans. They may not literally be orphaned in the sense that they have no biological or adopted parents, but there's a heart's yearning that they're missing. How key was it to you to have these testimonies and these people share in your book?
Well, when I started writing the book, and I actually started teaching this message about the orphan heart, and because an orphan says, "I have no father," you have no father, you have no identity, no purpose, no direction, no destiny, no life. That's the downward spiral of the orphan heart. And people came up to me afterwards all the time, that's my story. And they begin to tell me their story, which is the same as my story, about how the broken relationship with the earthly father led us to not understanding the heavenly father and how much he loves us.
We're coming off celebrating Father's Day, and many Christians were confronted with life's disappointments, with earthly father. Maybe he didn't live up quite to their expectation. But you mentioned in your book that all of us are fed lies by the enemy, by Satan. What did you mean by that, about how the biggest lie starts small?
Well, the biggest lie says you don't matter. And it usually starts with your earthly parents, that you really don't matter. And the enemy takes that, and he tries to put distance between our earthly father and us. And the farther he can get the distance, the greater the distance, the more he can speak the lie to us. And what the enemy of Christ tells us that is our heavenly father cannot take care of the past. If you know, how many times have we repeated over and over asking God to forgive us of a sin? God, would you please forgive me again? Would you please forgive me again? And I don't know how many people have prayed over and over the same sin, when God has already taken care of it. It's not the sin that holds us to the past. It's the lie that God can't take care of it. And that's why in 1 John he says we need to be faithful. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us all righteousness. So the whole problem is not that we've been forgiven our sins. It's the problem that we don't believe that he has, and it ties us to the past. And every orphan feels like he has a past that he can't get rid of, and his father can't take care of it.
Well, part of what I love, I mentioned the format of the book, and at the end of the chapters, you have kind of a section that's a challenge, causing people where they could go deeper in talking about the battle. Why did you want to include that in this book, Escape the Lie?
Well, when people start out reading it, they don't know they have an orphan heart. That's always they don't understand what the enemy has done. We have so been lulled into this sense of an orphan that we don't know we even have it. So I put those questions at the end saying, do you have this and this and this? You know, do you worry all the time? Because, you know, you're tied to the past because of guilt and shame. And probably my favorite line in the book is that guilt, you know, makes you hang your head down, but shame keeps you from ever lifting it up again. And there's nobody in the scriptures that I admire more than Peter. Who denied Christ more than anybody else? I mean, you look at Peter and what he did, and he said he wept bitterly, he had shame. And he had to overcome the guilt and shame to take the stand with 11 in Acts 2:14. He said he took the stand with 11. And what process, it says, did he go through to get rid of that guilt and shame? The orphan is always stuck in the guilt and shame phase of life, or they're always stuck in the worry phase of life, and they're tied to the future. And what the enemy says is you're tied to the past because your father can't take care of it. He can't take care of your guilt and shame, and your heavenly father can't take care of the future. So you have to worry. How many people do you know worry about tomorrow, worry about finances, worry about this, worry, worry, worry? When the scripture says, do not worry, what does it add to your life? And so what the enemy wants to do is wants to tie you to the past. It's almost like being those cartoons where the little guy is hung to the wall, chained to the wall in a prison somewhere. You got your arm stretched out to the past, you got your arm stretched out to the future, and you say your father can't take care of either one of those. If your father can't take care of the past or the future, what does that mean for you today? It means I don't have a father who can take care of me today. And therefore, even though I have a father, I live as an orphan because he's powerless. That's the enemy lie right there.
Well, I think you framed the problem to where each one of us could identify with the, with those doubts, with those worries. You talk about how Satan has a battlefield where he can work over our emotions and minds. For those who have read Walker's columns, either in the Baptist Messenger or elsewhere, would know just his tremendous sense of humor. Just one of the funniest people, probably the funniest person I know is Walker Moore. In fact, funnier than most stand-up comedians, just has a way and a warmth. And that comes through in the book as well. Some of your stories just are just rib tickling, but really it's a serious tone too. You took on a really heavy topic and you really bore your heart in some of the stories. Could you take us through one of your personal stories that might apply here? I know people will read all about it in the book, but maybe one of the stories that could frame the problem.
Well, I grew up with a dad that his father died when he was young and did not know how to be a father, and I could never please my dad. When I was 9 years old, I remember he was a mechanic, and he left to go on a road call, and I thought if I did this, it would please my dad, and every child wants to please their father. And so I went out and cleaned the shop up. I cleaned all the tools, the toolbox, the bench, and the garage floor had all the gunk on it. And I knew my dad would be happy. I knew he would be pleased. And I was a little boy, 9 years old, so proud of what I did. So when my dad came back in, I stood at attention by his toolbox. And he drove into the garage. He gets out, he looks at the tools, see how clean they are. He looks at the bench, and he sees how clean it is. Look at the floor, and he took his foot and kind of rub it around, and it was just as clean as can be. He finally turned to me and says, it's about time you did something around here, and he walked off. And I go, I didn't please my dad. And for the rest of my life, till the day he died, I was in that mode, and I could never please him. When I surrendered to the ministry, he said, you'll never make it. I was a youth pastor when I became the president of what's called the Metro Youth Ministry Association, the top 50 churches in the United States elected me as their leader. I called my dad. He said, but you're not a real pastor. Even on his deathbed, the doctors asked him, he said, do you have anything to tell your sons? And he looked at the doctor and says, I have nothing to say to them. And every child is waiting for their father to speak into them their identity. It's the mother who gives value. It's the father who gives identity. And you see that in Jesus' life, you know, this is my son who I'm well pleased. So as a boy, I grew up, and even as a grown man in my 40s, I was still trying to get my dad to speak to me my identity, and he died never doing it. So I was an orphan. I never got my identity spoken into me.
Well, in the book, I think you trace how this pattern of orphan heart works cyclically. In other words, the problems transmit from one generation to the next. However, likewise, the chain can be broken, and you point really to the solution, the cure-all. Obviously, this side of heaven will still have pain and problem and guilt and sin and mess up, but in our Heavenly Father, we can find our true identity. Talk about that a little bit, the hope, and just tell us more about that.
Well, because I had a father who I felt like I was an orphan in my own home. You know, I did not get my identity, I did not get purpose, I did not get direction, and my father did not know what to do because he didn't have a father who could do it to him. And I was laying in a hotel room in Chicago one night, and I came across John 17:23, and I started reading it, and I couldn't believe it. I don't know why I've never seen this, but Jesus still is talking to the men who he just said a few minutes ago, I would not leave you as orphans. Then he says to them, I have come for two reasons. So, number one, you know I'm from my Father. And the second thing is that you will know that my Father loves you as much as he does me. And I said, wait a minute. Jesus is his favorite child. It is his favorite child. There's no way around it. He's the perfect child. You know, there are three ways you can belong to a family. You can be born in a family, adopted in a family, and married in a family. And God took care of all three of those. We must be born again. In Revelation, there's going to be a marriage. And Ephesians says we're adopted. God loves us so much, he took all three ways and brought us into the family of God. And I said, but I'm the stepchild. I'm the adopted child. Jesus is the perfect child. So if God the Father came in the room and he asked me, who does God the Father loves most, Jesus, his perfect child, or Walker, the broken child, the rebellious child, the orphan child, I would say he loves Jesus more. But the truth is, and this is what you have to escape the lie, because the enemy wants you to think you're a second-class citizen in the family of God. But the Scripture says he loves us as much as he does Jesus. And all of a sudden, it just dawned on me. If Jesus is his favorite child and he loves me the same, what does that make me? And all of a sudden that night in a hotel room, what my earthly father did not do, my heavenly father did. And I heard that, you know, this is Walker Moore. He's my favorite child. And I can say that right now with everything in my heart. My name is Walker Moore. I am the Father's favorite child.
Amen.
And Brian, you're his favorite child. And those who are listening by the radio, do you know that you're the Father's favorite child? And he's never even thought bad about you. He gave all his judgment to his son, Jesus, so he wouldn't have to worry about that. And the Father's arm is open wide for any child to come and climb in his lap and play with him. He is absolutely open to that.
Amen. And that's the key to every hope of the human heart. That's our real redemption. That's the real power of the gospel. You know, Walker, if you stop to think about it, I'd like to hear how the initial reactions are to the book, which is a new release. But you can picture how a concept like this, prayed through and applied, would bring so much healing to family relationships, friendships, neighbors, enemies brought together, people made right with God through Jesus Christ, his only son. What is your vision for the book? And talk a little bit about the initial reaction.
Well, my vision for the book is people who are orphans like myself, and there's a lot of them out there. There's so many of us, because an orphan does everything, you know, to try and earn the Father's love. And so, if I just tithe one more dollar, if I just do one more mission trip, if I just do this, and we're always trying to earn the Father's love, or we rebel against the Father and said, forget you, Father, and we go off and do our own thing. So the orphan heart manifests itself in two ways, either in its rights, I have rights, you know, or in relationship, and you're trying to be the pleaser. And I see so many people like that. If they just knew the truth, you don't have to do that. You already obtained it. You are the Father's favorite child. Just embrace the truth. And I have seen over and over and over, you see the testimony in the book, are people who have been set free from the lie. And they will tell you over and over, the greatest truth that we ever heard was that when we were no longer orphans anymore, it had set us free. And we're not bound by things anymore. We walk in freedom, and we'll give up our rights to have a relationship. You know, Jesus gave up his rights as the Son of God to have a relationship with us. See, an orphan can't do that. An orphan has to have his rights. You owe me this. The prodigal son, the older brother, said, I've done this and this and this, and you never gave me a party. And there's many people feel like that when it comes to God, that God hasn't done anything for them or done enough for them. And this breaks you free from all those thoughts. So my prayer is that God will just continue to set people free one by one by one. The the response so far has been tremendous. We've had many people call us, talk to us, had people come to the office today, get more books because they got friends that have orphan hearts and they need this book. So it's been a very good response.
We're talking to Walker Moore about his newest work, Escape the Lie, Journey to Freedom from the Orphan Heart. Walker, what's the best way people can order this book, either one copy or multiple? What would be the best way?
Well, they go several different ways. It's on Amazon.com. Just put in Escape the Lie and you can get it. Or you can go on our website, www.allstar.org, and you can buy a copy from us and we ship it free to you. And I will sign it, autograph it to anybody you want me to sign it to. So we even had parents today said, I got a son who's orphan. Would you write something to him in there? So there's a little section where you can go in and ask me to put something to somebody. Personalize the message to them.
Wonderful. Thank you for offering that. And all the listeners not only need to get a copy, but this would be a great gift book. You know, we're here in the summer, but it won't be long before the holidays where some of life's expectations, the missed expectations are more pronounced. This could be the exact type of book someone needs, the truth spoken in to their life so they too can escape the lie. Another thing I liked, Walker, at the end you have a kind of a chart or a listing. You might have an orphan heart if, and there's these introspective questions. If you feel purposeless, if you have a hard time loving yourself, if you turn to the internet for pleasure, little things bother you. What were you hoping to achieve or diagnose with a list like that?
Yeah, let me tell you something funny about the list. I wrote it in about 5 minutes, the entire list, because I just wrote about myself.
Wow.
I everything in here, it just was so quick to write, and then I figured out everybody else have many of these things too, you know. There's time I feel purposeless, you know. I look in the mirror and I criticize myself, you know. Sometimes have a hard time being happy, you know. You could be in a party and you can't find happiness there, you know, and everybody else is happy. Well, that's because of the orphan heart. So I just wrote down basically the things that I had dealt with myself, you know. And, you know, behind most comedians, there are always a dark side. Mm. In fact, they say comedy comes out of darkness. And I was just saying, hey, these are things that I, even though a lot of people think me as a humorous writer or speaker, behind that there is this broken little boy that struggles with things, and I struggle with a gamut of things as an orphan. But God has done a work in these areas and have set me free and brought freedom and joy. And so I thought, well, if I have these, maybe somebody else has.
Could you talk a moment about your own family, your own sons, Walker, and then kind of wrap up on the point of hopefulness, some transformation you've seen in your own world?
Well, my two sons, because an orphan produces orphans. You cannot produce sonship. So if you're an orphan father, orphan mother, orphan grandparents, all you can do produce other orphans. That's, you just can't get away from it. Sins of the father visit the sins of the children. And so I have two sons, and my oldest son became like the perfect son in the prodigal son story. Never made bad grades and that kind of stuff. And as an overachiever, has many degrees, and yet all that are signs of orphan. My younger son rebelled, ran away, lived in California, got tattooed up. And I said, why do my children who've been to church all their lives, who grew up going to camp and Falls Creek and everything else, all of a sudden turn out this way? It's because they have an orphan dad. And so what I began to do is, when I understood what was going on, I had to break it in my own life first. Then second thing, I began to speak into my sons the truth and let them know they're their father's favorite child. They don't have to do anything to earn my love. I love them unconditionally. And I begin to this process, and God has done a work in their lives, and it has changed our relationship. I can't begin to tell you the joy I have as a father now with my two sons. And now I have a grandson. You didn't mention that in the introduction. I'm kind of disappointed, but I'm learning how to speak into them. And the book is that. I sit them down, look them in the eye, and I speak. I say their name, and I say to them, Jeremiah, I need you to know that you're my father's favorite child. And I say that to my son, Caleb, you're my father's favorite child. And only that to my wife. Because if I don't speak that into them, the enemy will tell them lies. And we have to speak truth into people, and we have to use scripture to do that. So based upon John 17:23, to those who are ever listening to the radio today, I don't know your name, but I can tell you what I know about you. And according to the Word of God today, I can tell you that you are the Father's favorite child. He has loved you from the foundation of the world. He thinks you have worth and value. In fact, he says that he knew you before the foundation of the world, and he created you fearfully and wonderfully made. And when you look in the mirror and you don't think you're very good, and you don't think you're, that is lies from the enemy. The enemy is coming against the Word of God and the will of God for your life. And you need to speak truth back to that mirror. And I put a mirror up, I put my name on it, and I started reminding myself the scriptural truth, what God said about me. And the book holds the scriptural truth that you can speak to yourself and speak to your children so they will know the truth of God, and the truth always dispels the lie. So it's not that you're a bad person, it's not that, it's the lie that tells you that when Jesus says differently.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I actually was pretty confident you would bring up your grandson. He is an absolute cutie, and your family is just so dear to Oklahoma Baptist, Walker. And you coming on the program today, sharing that message of hope, the message of hope, talking about your new book, Escape the Lie. You know, your writings have meant so much to so many. I would not only encourage people to get their hands on this book, Escape the Lie, but also for parents and grandparents, I would encourage you to check out Walker's book, Rite of Passage Parenting, Four Essential Experiences to equip Your Kids for Life. I've read the gamut of parenting books, and that book just continues to be the one I keep going back to for advice, for lessons, for principles that I can use on a day-in, day-out, week-in, week-out basis. And with four kids and one on the way, it's been a real blessing to my family. And Walker, it's been a blessing to talk about your new book today. Thank you for coming on Messenger Insight like this.
Well, thank you for having me on, and may God bless to those all who listen and walk away knowing the truth.
God bless you too, Walker. Thank you again.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.